returning, I'll try to give you all these answers that you're so anxiously awaiting for, and the big prize that comes with it. All right. So the answer to number one here, you know, this isn't the answer. I just thought that'd be funny here anyway. Y'all want answers, right? Yeah. I'll tell you the truth then. It's lions, so if you put whales down, you need to probably go left and read a little bit. Or is it right? Anyway, all right. Next one is Zoar, Z-O-A-R. How many people got that right? I am proud of you guys. Wow. I put Rocheville. All right. Everyone knows Jacob, right? Jacob was the great wrestler. Oh, it took some endurance, you know, the all-night thing. That's what I don't get. It's wrestling with an angel for 5 seconds, big deal, right? He just pins you and it's over. All night? The guy was in good shape. All right. So the answer to the next one, cake. I got that one wrong, too. I put pecan pie. It wasn't in there. Anyway, the next one, Hagar. I'll be pleased to see how many people answered Hagar. Okay, very good, very good. That was a little bit tougher than some. All right, the next one. The word means the angel means messenger. And then finally, the answer is the obvious one, right? Luke, the passage that we're in today. So with that being said, I hope you are already ready to go and ready to receive the word. I want to just let you know that this sounds like a science fiction intro a little bit, and I don't mean for it to be, but we are basically not alone. We are not alone. That sounds like a science fiction movie, something someone would say, but it's true. The Bible confirms that we're not the only living creatures around. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it does not exist. And so we have these great creatures of God's creation. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, we see them and read about them and learn about them. And they're so mysterious still yet. There's a lot we still don't know about them. And yet there they are. And I just wanted to kind of go through a couple of them that you've heard of, some of the names. Not a lot of their names are given. So, and these aren't necessarily personal names. They could be like classifications, like cherubims and seraphs, seraphim. And we read about the seraphim in Isaiah a little earlier. It's the only time in the Bible they're mentioned. That's it. All right? You're not going to find them anywhere else. You heard it, you read it, you saw it. And there it was. They seem to be there, though, to proclaim the holiness of God. They're a little bit different than some of the other angelic beings. They're all about protecting and watching over the holiness. And then the cherubims are very similar. They seem to be coupled sometimes with seraphims as well. They're the protectors of God's holiness as well. They involve in leading worship. So they're kind of like the music pastor, right? And in heaven. Interesting enough, as many of you might know, that Satan himself was in that classification. He was a cherub. So that's where he was from. And a protector of God's holiness. Isn't that interesting? The very one who wants to steal God's holiness was the protector of it for who knows how long. We also have some names. Gabriel, right? Daniel 9 and other places. He seems to be the messenger, and he's going to be the one in our story this morning. Gabriel, then we have Michael. Michael's always seemed to be I wanted to call him the mafia guy, but I didn't know how they would take that. So he's the hitman. He's the guy, if you got a problem, call Michael. I got a guy. All right, I got Michael. Michael, take care of the guy. And Michael would go, and that was it. That's all there was to it. So Michael takes care and fights for the Lord. And, of course, there's another strange name, and I'm not sure if this is exactly his personal name, but Apollyon from Revelation 9:11. You can look that up later. Seems to be another fallen angel who has some destructive powers. I wouldn't want to have him or too many of those guys running around, but yet there he is in the Revelation in this story there. So we have these angels, God's servants, and just a few things about them. This is a very small list. There's a whole lot more. Most of this is review. You need to know that they are created beings. They're not eternal. They weren't around as long as God's been around. God, in fact, it says in Colossians 1, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." That's including the angelic host as well. There also seem to be innumerable. There's several passages. Hebrews 12 speaks of an innumerable number. Revelation 5 talks about this. "I looked and I heard around the throne and living creatures and the elders with the voices of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands and on and on and on and on." There's a lot of them. There's not an angel shortage, that's for sure. They can be visible or invisible. Some of my favorite Old Testament Bible stories are about the invisible ones who become visible. Do you love the story of the donkey, right? Balaam? There's the invisible angel right there. I'm sure it would have been a different conversation altogether at the beginning if he saw the angel there. And I wonder what our conversations might be like in our day if we could see some of the invisible things around us as visible. But just a thought. But they also are in physical form. Another favorite story is the one from Acts 12 where Peter... James was the first martyr, right? He was executed. Peter was thrown in prison. And here comes the angel, and he gets him free and lets him out of the prison. So they are invisible, but they also are very visible. The Bible, or Jesus, made it clear, at least, that angels do not procreate. That has significance on some of the questions people ask about Genesis 6. You can look that up later. So you need to think through that. They are also, of course, they minister to God's servants, and they are ministers for us and his children. Hebrews 1:14 says this, "Are they not all ministering spirits set out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" They are servants of God for us. I thought you might be happy about that. Yeah, so God uses them many times in many different ways. Now, we might think of that as always being something, in our view, positive, but sometimes they're sent to get us straight as well. So it's both the pat on the back and the smack in the butt. It's both there, but they're God's servants. There's a lot of misunderstandings about angels that take place, okay? I'm just going to throw a few out here. There are quite a few. One of them is this. People become angels when they die. That's false. So I'm sorry for all you people that love the movie It's a Wonderful Life. That's Clarence the Angel trying to earn his wings. Remember that story? That's so fiction, okay? I hope I didn't ruin anyone's day. But there's no evidence of anyone becoming an angel. People kind of refer to that, though. You probably have heard people say that. Oh, you know, they're up there flying around with their wings, strumming their harps, and I'm thinking, what? I don't know about all that, but we know that according to the word, people are not angels. Here, demons are not angels. That's actually false. Sorry. They are. They're just not very good ones, okay? Let me use some scripture for you. Jude 6, we just recently went through Jude. It says, "And the angels who did not stay with their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under the gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day." So there were, and there are, angels that are, we use the word fallen. You probably won't find the phrase fallen angels in the Bible, but that describes what their position is. You don't have to turn, but in Revelation chapter 12, there's an interesting passage as well that speaks about this. talks about the great red dragon. It's talking about seven heads and all this stuff. Now listen to what happens. This great red dragon, who will be identified here in a moment, says that his tail swept down and a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, and he goes on and on. And it talks about this fight that's happening in heaven. In verse 7 it says, the war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fight back. It's an angelic war. I don't know what angels fight with. And since they're eternal and they can't die, I'm not sure how that war works. But there has something to do with authority and submissiveness, I'm sure. But anyway, and so here it is, a little more explanation. And the great dragon that we read about that swept the third of the stars, that ancient serpent is called the devil and Satan. He's the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. That's Revelation 12, if you'd like to read that. Revelation 12. So, yeah, demons are angels, okay? They're just not very good ones. They're fallen. We would call them fallen angels. It's interesting that the Lord speaks about them as well in several scriptures throughout the New Testament. We don't have time to get into all that right now. But if that bothers you, I just want you to know that if you were to read Revelation 20:10, you know how it all turns out. Y'all look like you're sad or something here. All right, I'm going to have to have it. It says the devil and all those individuals who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur with the beast and the false prophet world, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Finally cast out. Imagine this world without that influence. It'd be an amazing world. So I guess you could say not all angels go to heaven. Said, well, he was an angel. And so my question, my response back to you would be, he was an angel or she was an angel? That's wonderful. What kind of angel? All right, so everyone has a guardian angel. We kind of went over that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? That's actually false. Don't throw anything at me. There's really no scripture to say that. No people say that. There's a scripture that speaks about the angels' faces looking towards the throne. And that doesn't necessarily mean that every person born has an angel assigned to them. Frankly, there really is no need for it, in the sense that they do his bidding from heaven. God knows all and sees all. And by the way, we mentioned earlier as well that you have something better than an angel. You have the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Do you think that Holy Spirit is unable to take care of you? I mean, do you think Jesus panics inside of you and says, oh, no, there's a truck coming. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I don't think so. So it's not anything that you have to be concerned about. Oh, what are you talking about? All the babies and their holy angels that protect them. God protects them in many different ways. And yes, sometimes he may use angels if he chooses to. But he can do it himself by his very word. You know that. So that comes from the Bible. There, of course, angels play a significant role in the birth narrative, and that kind of leads us to our text. So you got your text, right? We're there? I hope so. Luke 1, 26 through 38. Let's go ahead and read through that, if you'll let me get a drink here. All right. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. By the way, I believe next week's message is about him. On the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, I want you to notice some of the things that are said about him. Are you ready? He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there is no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I love the phrase in there. There's several things that are said about our Lord, but the one about Son of the Most High, this angel is proclaiming something amazing, not just information, but also identification about who this one is. This isn't just any child. This is deity coming in the flesh, something that might cause Mary to step back. And I'm not sure how much she understood. I'm not going to sit here and try to guess. But she understood enough. And she had some questions. And so here we have these phrases about the Lord. He's the Son of the Most High. He will be great. He's going to rule over the Father, over the throne of his father David. This is all about Messiah. This is something amazing. So we have here with this whole thing, these angels proclaiming this truth about who Jesus is. And if you're curious that only good angels know that truth, you need to read Mark chapter 5. Because in Mark 5, we have that story about Jesus healing a man that was demon-possessed. You remember the story. And here are another set of angels. Remember, the not-so-good ones. They come running to Jesus, not away. They run to Jesus. They throw themselves down on the ground. And what did they say? Oh, Son of God. They know who he is. They give him identity and respect and all those things you would expect. They don't unnecessary words and wrong words towards him. They simply cry out and say, oh, what are you going to have to do with the Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. So even the fallen angels, the bad ones, know exactly who Jesus is. And so here we have a holy angel here. And he's announcing this, and he's giving this truth out. And Mary has questions, or at least one. How? It is interesting if you read the text. In Luke 1, earlier, someone else asked that same question in a different way. Remember, they came to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and told him what was going to happen, and he kind of asked a similar question. How is that possible? I'm too old, and my wife's too old. And the angel didn't seem to be very pleased with that question. And so he was made mute during the whole time of that of that particular pregnancy until she gave birth. But here, completely different. I read a bunch of stuff. If you all have a lot more wisdom than me, you just share with me. I don't know the different responses. People sometimes try to come up with reasons as to why, even though it's not necessarily evident as to why. In one stories right next to each other, why one reacted one way and one reacted another way. I don't know. Could it be their hearts? Maybe Zechariah was simply really doubting, and he should have known better. Being a man of God who taught the word, he knows that God is nothing's impossible. But Mary asked a similar question, didn't she? How in the world is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. I can't be carrying a baby. But the angel shows great patience. Now, there's intelligence here. There's great intelligence. I don't know the conversation in heaven, what took place before Gabriel was sent down. So what happened? So he said, there was the Lord God said, hey, Gabriel, come over here. Yeah, okay, what? Hey, I got to tell a servant something. And there's a lot of details here, so I want you to sit, put that down, put that PlayStation away. I want you to listen. All right? So pay attention to all these details, because you got to talk to this woman. And she's going to do something amazing. Of course, angels are highly intelligent. He absorbed every detail. He got it all in his head. He got it straight. Now, the original, he kind of just gave it to her and thought it was done, right? Hey, this is what's going to happen, Mary. You're going to come, greetings, and don't be afraid. You're going to bear a son. He gives all these things. He thought, whoo, I gave the message. Now, if you're a husband, you're real proud of yourself when you're able to actually give all the information your wife told you to give to somebody. I get myself in trouble all the time. I don't know if you've heard these stories before, especially in the past, where people have babies and they give all the information about the child that, you know, it was born at this time, it was this long and this heavy and all that stuff, whatever. And I didn't always get those facts exactly right. So I remember Dawn just shaking her head because someone was about to have a baby in our church. This is a different church, not this one. And I said, man, I'm gonna get it. I'm going to get it this time. So I took notes and I called. And I said, this is what the baby weighed. This is when it was born. This is how long it was. And I thought I had done my job. It was awesome. And she asked the question, was it a boy or girl? I'll be right back. Not so intelligent as an angel, right? No, I'm not even going to come close to that. But what I love about Gabriel, and I would imagine all God's holy angels, they're able to think on the feet. She had questions. He didn't have to run back to heaven to look up some manual and figure out what was going on. He knew the answers. He had high intelligence. So these creatures are amazing. These holy creatures, powerful creatures. And he was able to come back in a calm way and answer her questions. Now, I'm sure that when he answered the question, she probably said, okay. I mean, what else am I going to say? And she seemed to just accept that and say, you know what? I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me, whatever, according to your word. And so we have these intelligent creatures. But I love them as well in the text here. They're encouraging. They're very encouraging. These messengers of God. Don't you love in verse 37? He adds this. This I don't think this was part of the original message. I think he's just responding and saying, look, you know this. This is actually in the Old Testament. Maybe she heard it in a lesson growing up as a little girl. Nothing is impossible with God. That's right. Right. What am I worried about? Don't you need to hear that like daily sometimes? I know I do. I know the truth. I've probably read the stories, taught the stories, heard the stories, sung about it. But somewhere along the way in life, things happen. And this problem is different than the first 1,000 you had this year. And sometimes we just need that message. Nothing is impossible with God. So they're very encouraging. And they speak truth. They speak truth. So, and of course, they're servants of God in their proclamation of this gospel. This was good news that was coming. A Savior is going to be born. They love doing that. And with that being said, I would like you, if you don't mind, to go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Because these particular creatures, not just Gabriel, there's something special about this whole story of salvation for them. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12 we're going to look at. But let's back up to verse 10. concerning the salvation, so we're talking about this glorious hope, this inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. It's in Awana verse, by the way, if you remember that, guys. It says, concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. These guys were into it. They didn't just go to lectures or just casually read a book about it. They were all in. So for them, learning about God and his great salvation was something that they pursued all the time. It's a different attitude, isn't it? Verse 11, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glory. So they're having some tutoring done even by the Spirit of Christ speaking to them and helping them understand. Verse 12. And it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you to the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things, here it is, into which angels long to look. Oh, okay. So what are we saying? These angels love to look into salvation story. They are interested in how this whole thing's unfolding. They're staring down and they're wondering what in the world is going on here on earth. I was able, Gabriel speaking now, to come down and pronounce this good news. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he was excited that he could be a part of that as an obedient servant of the Lord. And now he's wondering, how long is it going to be before the salvation plan that's been already worked out through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is going to be proclaimed like that again? They get excited when they hear someone share the Lord. This is like the ultimate reality TV show for angels. You think about it. They're literally up there every day. This is the ultimate reality TV show. And who are they looking at? I think they're looking at us. I don't know if an angel came to you. I suppose someone in the name of the Lord could be that human fleshed angel who came and shared with you about Jesus. You remember that day? That was exciting. That was a great day. It's okay to say, yes, I remember that day. Amen. That was awesome. And God opened my mind, and I understood it, and I received it. So the angels now, according to some of the passages of the gospel, they celebrate when a sinner comes to God. So here they're watching. Now remember, they are not God. They don't know if this person or that person will receive Jesus Christ by faith. They don't know that. They're watching. They're looking. First, they're watching to see, well, who's this guy's over here? Who's telling them? Who's telling us? Why aren't you telling this guy over here? That's great news. He needs to hear it. And then someone comes and shares, and there they are. What's going to happen? Of looking in on those things. They're interested. When I read that again, and I've read it like you probably several times, I was convicted. Because I'm not sure I have that kind of intense passion for the salvation story that I ought to have. And these angels, here they are, these servants already secured, already in God's plan. These holy ones of God will always be with him. They're looking and they're wondering, how will God's people respond to the command that God gave us? Go ye into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. Now that's for you and me, right? Right? That's our command. That's been given. So, four takeaways as we close our time here. Four takeaways we need to get. First one is, I think we need to be aware of this invisible world. We need to be aware of what's going on all around us. There is a warfare going on. Remember, it is not with flesh and blood, but it's in the heavenlies. And that's why we can't fight it with flesh and blood. We must march forward on our knees with prayer and humility, trusting God, obeying His word. We need to be aware of this invisible warfare that's going on all around us. There are great, good angels, holy angels of God's service that are there at the bidding of God to help us when God chooses to make that happen. But there are also fallen bad angels that are there to confuse you, deceive you, make you think it's light when it's not. So we need to be aware. Number two, we need to be listening. We need to be listening to God's message. Mary, the servant here in the story, can you imagine if she did one of these? You ever see somebody do this? La 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 la. That seems childish. I think you're right. That's exactly childish. I think a lot of people do that with God, though. If God's speaking to your heart right now, what do you mean God's speaking to my heart? What do you mean God's speaking to my... Hey, I don't have to explain that to you too much. I've been there. I remember as a student in Cedarville, it was like my junior year, and Dr. Dixon was preaching in a church I had been attending, and they had him come in to do some special series or whatever. And he was preaching and pounding, and wouldn't you know it, this is how the Holy Spirit works. Early on in the message, I was already convicted. I don't even know what the message was about. But my heart literally felt like I had heartburn. And I had to put my head down. I was sitting right about where Caleb's sitting. And the church was pretty packed. And it's all I could do is say, God, let this message stop. And I promise you that before the first note is sung, I'm down. And God, He ended the message, and I kept what I said. They invited everyone to stand, and the guy was about to start, and I just knocked 12 people out of the way and ran down, and I couldn't even speak. The Holy Spirit convicted me through His word. I need to deal with some things in my life that weren't right. To be listening. We got to be listening. God has messengers all the time. Here's a really good messenger. It's an amazing thing. People don't have very many of them anymore. They look more like phones, right? I brought my phone in here. What am I doing? Excuse me, I better turn this on off. Whew. It's called a Bible. Speaks to us in His Bible. God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us through wise counsel. I love Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Don't listen to anyone. I know what I'm doing. But a wise man listens to advice. So God uses these things in our lives to speak to us. I don't need Gabriel. I've got something better. The very Word of God, the very Spirit of God, the very people of God. Are we listening? We got to be aware of the fight. We got to be listening. We also need to be very ready. Be ready for service. And here, Gabriel was obviously, when the Lord told him to go, he went. We don't have that record, but we know what he did. But there's a great passage in Matthew, I want to read to you where Jesus kind of reminds us that His angels are always ready. So this is the arrest of Christ. You remember this story? I'm going to kind of jump in the middle of that. So they're coming and they're arresting Jesus. And you know what happens. And so we come up to Jesus and they say, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he, that being Judas, right, kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came upon and laid his hands on Jesus. They seized him, and behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And this is what Jesus said to him, his servant. He said, "Look, put your sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword." And here it comes. You ready? You remember this one? "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and He will at once send me more than 12 legions sitting there when that trumpet blows or when God tells us to do something? Are you ready? God says it, which means the next one has got to be there. Be aware, be listening, be ready, but you've got to be active. You got to proclaim this. Gabriel didn't just say, yes, God, thank you very much, and took a left and went to Jupiter. Okay? He came to Earth. He was ready to do what God asked him to do, and he did it completely. And are we ready to share this message? I wonder what the angels think about us. I wonder what they think about me. Do you think they wonder why we don't appear to more people like he did to Mary and just tell them about the good news? It is good, right? Is it good? I hope it's good news. If it's that good, I mean, my goodness, we'd be jumping around. Some of us, you know, we'd be jumping around. Some of us are serious sports fans. If the Colts actually won a Super Bowl again, you know, no one's afraid to talk about that. We should not be concerned about that. So we need to be telling, and we need to not keep this to ourselves. There is a story I read. I didn't know this. This apparently, maybe you've heard this before. The guy by the name of John Currier. Have you heard this story? John Currier was his name. He was found guilty of murder in 1949. He was sentenced to life in prison. And later he was paroled, and he worked on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. So in 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated. You got that? So it was terminated in 1968. And a letter bearing this good news was sent to him. There's a problem. John never got the letter. He never saw it. He wasn't told anything about it. And 10 years went by. 10 years still working on that farm in Tennessee. Somehow a state patrol officer learned about his situation. He found him. That's amazing. And he told him that his sentence had been terminated 10 years ago. He always had been a free man the last 10 years. It's a true story. Look it up. So I'm wondering, Christians we've been entrusted with this good news, this letter from the warden, that in Jesus Christ, you can be set free from your prison. It's right here. Not put on parole either. Completely not guilty. It's great news. Why would we hold on to that letter for 10 years? Maybe there's someone in your life that God is wanting you to reach out to. And it's, you know, it's not that you don't want to, but for whatever reason, you're holding on to that letter. I'm encouraging you now to join me and say, Lord, I want that opportunity to tell that prisoner he can be set free through Christ. And I want you to do that this Christmas season. You've got all these weeks, but the Lord may not tarry that long. So as he gives you an opportunity, let's tell others about this good news. They don't have to be in prison. Which leads us to our final slide here. You don't have to be an angel. Tell the good news about Jesus. It's a great message. And as great as the servants of God are in the invisible world, they're just as great here in the visible world. And the Bible tells us that God loved you and me so much that he sent his son Christ so that we could be set free from our prison. That's great news. Join me and say, Lord, I want to be part of that message bearer. I want to be that angel in someone's life. You can do that in many ways, but there's no better way than to tell them about salvation in Jesus. Would you bow with me, please? So your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're certainly not alone in this universe. We know that. There's all kinds of invisible creatures around us that we cannot see. Honestly, I'm thankful for that many times. We have a mission that God has given to us to go and tell. And Gabriel has been a good example for us. He was ready, he listened, he was willing, and he went. He was actively involved in doing it. And we've been given this great message. So I want to ask you right now, would you just, from your heart, say, Lord, as you give me opportunity, and Lord, if I need to take an opportunity, help me to do that as well. I pray right now that I can be an angel in someone's life, not just an angel by helping them with physical things, which I absolutely can do anytime. But I'm talking about and being an angel spiritually to them. Ask the Lord to help you to be that spiritual angel to someone, to share this good news that Jesus Christ has already been born, rose, grew, and died on the cross for their sins and rose again and offers salvation. So they can be free. What a Christmas that'll be. Father, as we enter into the season now where we remember you, we remember your great servants, and today, your great angels. We thank you for them. And Lord, we pray that we'll learn from them, that we in turn will not be ashamed to proclaim to anyone you send us to. I'm sure that Mary never met Gabriel before. He didn't have a great knowledge of her other than being told that that's where he had to go. And yet he went as an obedient servant. And we have within us, those of us who know you, the Holy Spirit, God himself. We have that to be able to have the courage and the strength and the ability to not just go, but to tell. And I pray that you'll just use us in our own way, in our own unique way of communicating, of this good news that Jesus Christ saves. Help us this season. Help our church to be focused on sharing this good news of Christ to the lost for the glory of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I would offer you even now, as we're going to sing a final, or listen to a final song being sung, simply open your heart and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again so that you can be set free from your prison. My friend, please don't leave this place. Please don't go without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. We pray all these things, Father, in the name of Christ. Amen.